Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, we've been hearing all about supply chain issues. Last week, Linda Lagarde-Grover talked about them when she said copies of her new book were barely arriving on time for a reading she gave. So hunters may have to take a book with them in the deer stand because they may not have anything else to do.
Yeah, that hunting ammunition is really in short supply right now for the reasons that you mentioned with those supply disruptions, but also really due to surging demand for guns and ammunition since the COVID-19 pandemic. Gun dealers in the area are saying that they're really struggling to stock shelves as firearm sales have climbed due to the pandemic, to the civil unrest that we've seen, and also even the 2020 presidential election. Pat Kuchel, who's the owner of Superior Shooter Supply, said they had a shortage of shotgun ammunition for trap shooting over the summer. And then since then, you know, as bird hunters have been looking for pheasant, grouse, and waterfowl, there's been absolutely nothing for them, she said. And going into the rifle season, she said they haven't had any 30-30 shells in over a year. And they're rationing ammunition to one box per person and trying to keep a box of ammo for every caliber gun that they sell. But really, you know, we've seen 8 million new shooters in the last year, or new gun owners, according to the National Shooting Sports Foundation. And the FBI saw background checks for gun purchases climb 40% to a record almost 40 million last year. And in Wisconsin, it's pretty much the same. They saw background checks for handguns surge 174% last year, according to data from the Wisconsin Department of Justice. So this isn't something that's happening just in Superior. It's nationwide, it's statewide, it's everywhere right now. You know, with that demand, it's been really hard for people to find what they need for that hunting ammunition this fall.
Well, back to that deer stand. If you plan on spending the time drinking some local bottled water, that may not be happening either.
Well, yeah, the Bayfield County Board this week made a change to its county zoning ordinance so that a bottled water plant would no longer be permitted in industrial areas of the county there. And that change was made in response to a Duluth startup company's proposal to bottle and sell artesian water in the town of Clover. That proposal wouldn't be affected by this zoning change, but Crystal KLR, or Crystal Clear, had applied for a special permit in land that was zoned for residential and recreational use to bottle and sell water from the land there. And the county zoning committee rejected that permit as an unapproved use earlier this year. And the county's Board of Appeals upheld that decision, which is now being challenged in court by Crystal Myshak, who's the CEO and founder of Crystal KLR. And county board members wondered if this change might impact other projects in the county, like farms that may bottle and sell milk or orchards that may look to bottle and sell cider. But the county zoning director, Rob Shearman, said this change would only apply to proposals seeking to bottle and sell water.
Well, and finally, the continuing saga of the wolf hunt. What's the latest update?
Well, the latest is that a Dane County judge last week temporarily barred Wisconsin from holding a wolf hunt and ordered the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to set a quota of zero wolves until the agency complies with its own rules. Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost said the way that the DNR was applying Wisconsin's wolf hunt law was unconstitutional. Republican Governor Scott Walker signed in 2012, and the DNR has been running hunts when the animal hasn't been listed as a federal endangered species under emergency rules. And basically, the judge disagreed with that, and the decision was hailed by wildlife advocacy groups who had brought a lawsuit against the DNR aiming to stop the wolf hunt. And hunters like Kansas-based Hunter Nation spoke out against this move by the judge's ruling, saying it was an activist judge acting beyond his authority, I guess, and that the laws and the rules are clear. He just doesn't agree with them. And he called on Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call and Governor Tony Evers to immediately appeal that judge's order so that the fall hunt can move forward.
All right. Well, Brooks on the Minnesota side and going up in altitude a bit, what's going on at Lutzen Mountain?
Yeah, Minnesota's largest ski resort, by many measures, wants to get even bigger. They've submitted plans to grow onto nearly 495 acres of federal land, adding 7 new chairlifts, dozens of new runs, and they say more business opportunity for the North Shore. Some locals disagree. They say that they should keep operations off of the forest and that they should do more with less and perhaps attract backcountry skiers. So what's been submitted is this plan to the Forest Service, which needs to either approve or deny a special use permit to allow Lutzen to expand onto the Superior National Forest. This is a common practice in Western states with big ski areas on federal land and in Montana and Colorado. But in Minnesota, opponents say, you know, we've got much rarer terrain like this, and it should be kept public and open for folks who don't necessarily have the means to pay for a lift ticket. Business groups, of course, Visit Cook County, Lutzen Tofte Tourism Organization, both say that, you know, the more people that Lutzen can bring in the winter, the better people's lives will be, frankly, on the North Shore. You know, long-term success for Lutzen is long-term success for the North Shore. So a brewing, you know, jobs versus environment story on the North Shore, as we've seen before, and this one could take years to come to fruition. It'll be a while yet before the Forest Service makes its decision, and then Lutzen said it could be decades until they fully fulfill their expansion, but they'll start slowly as soon as they get permission, if they do.
All right. Well, if you're on top of Lutzen Mountain on a clear day, you might see some of our taconite operations, or maybe not. But if you could, what would you see?
Well, if you're driving up to Lutzen on Highway 61, you'll see the North Shore mining operation in Silver Bay, which we learned recently could be idled more frequently, putting more than 500 employees at risk of being temporarily out of a job now and then as the market swings. So what happened is Cleveland Cliffs CEO Lorenzo Gonsalves said recently that they plan to move high-grade pellet production to Minorca, which is a mine they acquired in their most recent acquisition of ArcelorMittal USA last year. That comes even though they spent $100 million on the Silver Bay North Shore mining operation. Gonsalves said he doesn't want to pay high royalties on the ore that is mined and shipped to Silver Bay to be processed and then shipped down the Great Lakes to be made into steel. Instead, he wants to use lower cost ore at another mine and said that that's his decision. I reached out to the company. They didn't respond, but all this came from an earnings call recently, and investors pressed him on the move, saying, you know, is it really cost prohibitive? Is it not possible to continue this? And he said, and I quote, "I will not use iron ore from the Peter Mitchell mine in Babbitt because I don't want to pay that royalty," end quote. So whether it's a bargaining tactic or not, it's unclear. Lorenzo Gonsalves, Cliff CEO, has been outspoken, to say the least, on earnings calls before. And so we'll see how this plays out as these plans progress.
All right. Well, visitors don't have to head up to the North Shore or the Range or Lutzen or the South Shore because there's plenty of vacation rentals popping up in Duluth. Or are there?
Well, slowly but surely, some more full-time vacation rental permits will be added to Duluth's limited supply. Right now, there is a cap of 60 vacation rental permits available for homeowners in Duluth. That doesn't count areas like downtown and Canal Park and other business districts where houses are few anyway. But recently, this week, the Duluth City Council unanimously approved a sweeping update to vacation rental rules that will eventually double that cap to 120 year-round vacation rental permits, and they've added a short-term permit. So there's no limit to these short-term permits, except that they're only valid for 21 nights a year. They can't be used more than 7 days in a row. And really, this was to sort of satisfy those folks who said, you know, we'd like to take part in this market, the sharing economy, you know, tap into this tourist income that Duluth has, and why do only 60 people get to do that? Of course, opponents to expanding vacation rentals say, well, we already have a housing crisis. We can't be taking housing out of the market. So this was seen as a compromise to say, hey, if you want to get out of town on grandma's marathon weekend, then, you know, you can rent out your house for 2-3 days at a time, or, you know, a couple weekends a year. So this was years in the making and came after a back and forth with the Planning Commission, you know, residents who spoke up and a lot of you know, just city staff working on finding this compromise. And it will be going into effect, and folks can start getting their short-term permits if they want, planning ahead for those busy Canal Park weekends pretty soon.
All right. And lastly, I understand there's a Duluth-based Star Tribune reporter who might be needing one of those Duluth vacation rentals, huh? You're leaving us, Brooks, to head down to the Star Tribune's mothership to cover Twin Cities and Minnesota business.
That's correct. Yeah, specifically, I'll be covering the food industry, companies like General Mills and Hormel, consumer packaged goods, as it's known, as well as 3M and some manufacturing as well. So I've loved my time in Duluth. I've been here for 5 years, and my son was born here. We bought our first house here, and I was to talk about it. Now I'm getting very wistful and emotional, but I have to thank you, Robin and Danny, for letting me talk your ears off every week for how long now. And it's been absolutely wonderful. As soon as we got here, we were so warmly welcomed by the community, and that has been true with news of our departure as well. So thank you so much. And yeah, look forward to your Cheerios and Spam coverage from yours truly.
Yep. You will be missed, Brooks.
Absolutely. And by no means will you be a stranger. We've been speaking with Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team and now the Star Tribune's business pages. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks so much, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau, and again, maybe some of those business stories, at www.startribune.com/northreport, and be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter.
Do you want to hear my parting song I've got here?
You know, you have more than earned your right to make a request or dedication. So cue it up, Brooks.
The party's over.
On that note, that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.
It's the same hook repeating. Grows more greater. And the walls contain resonation, laughter, and conversation.